For 70 years, Hollywood has worked and reworked the idea of racial transformation. The 1964 film Black Like Me, based on the book of the same title, depicted the true story of a journalist who dyed his skin to pass as an African American in the segregated South. He tells his secret to a shoeshine man, who then gives him advice about acting black.
You got to act different. You got to talk different. You even got to think different.
Decades later on Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy parodied that film with his version, White Like Me.
Their butts are real tight when they walk. They keep their butts tight. I got to remember to keep my butt real tight when I walk.
Now, there's a new addition to the genre, a reality show that airs in March on the FX cable channel called Black White. The series takes two families, one white, one black, who are made up daily to face the world as members of one another's race and then reconvene at night to share their experiences.
I keep thinking, there's something in the walk. You know, I was thinking kind of, how about a white guy, sort of more straight, whereas a black was sort of like just a little bit of roll.
That's not really bad.
It's equal parts intriguing and embarrassing and also impossible to take your eyes off. Margot Jefferson is culture critic for The New York Times. She joins us now. Margot, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Give me a kind of tour down Hollywood memory lane. Tell me some of the various films that have explored the whole idea of passing.
Well, until very recently in movies, a lot of the passing, the stereotypes, that's been melodrama. If you have a passing story, black woman, let's say, who is fair enough to pass for white, she's going to be played by a white actress. And they would have been categorized as women's pictures, you know, weepers, melodramas. And I sound a little patronizing. The fact is, when I saw them as a girl, I was quite mesmerized. In the 1959 Imitation of Life, the tormented Sarah Jane, who, of course, passes, that character was played by Susan Conner, who was white.
And if he ever finds out about me, I'll kill myself.
But why?
Because I'm white, too. And if I have to be colored, then I want to die.
Sarah Jane, what are you saying?
I want to have a chance in life. I don't want to have to come through back doors or feel lower than other people or apologize for my mother's color.
Don't say that.
She can't help her color. But I can.
1949, there was Pinky, the Negro girl who could pass for white and did for a time. And, you know, there were plenty of black people who went to see, especially Imitation of Life. They were compelled by it. But melodrama always has a moral dilemma. For a white audience, the honorable decision must be that if this young woman decides to keep trying to pass for white, she must be punished.
Couldn't we run away? I'd do anything to be with you. Anything.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. Just tell me one thing.
Yes?
Is it true?
Is what true?
Tell me.
Tell me!
What difference does it make? You love me.
All the kids talking behind my back. Is it true?
No!
Are you black?
No, I'm as white as you.
You're lying!
Among other things, interracial marriage was still illegal in virtually every state of the Union, if not in every state. And, you know, it was one of the great taboo subjects. For it to be acknowledged at all between a white man and a black woman, there's going to have to be a big class difference. The white man is going to have to be middle class. The black woman is going to have to be a kind of tramp, the bad woman. And in Pinky and Imitation of Life, the woman is a pretty good girl. You know, she's got nice mother or grandmother. This cannot be allowed to happen. If she decides, like Pinky decided, to in fact stay among her people and work for them, then she becomes the good heroine. So yes, you're definitely saying let's keep each race in its place.
As we got into the 60s, a whole different sensibility began to emerge. On the one hand, there was Black Like Me, which I guess you could characterize as the ultimate white guilt flick. But we also saw attempts at satire. The quintessential example would be from 1970, Watermelon Man with Godfrey Cambridge. Tell me about that movie.
That was a shocker. And that really, in terms of atmosphere, does come straight out of that racketing 60s where the civil rights movement went right into black nationalism. I think that may have been the first time that mass audiences saw a black man in pure white makeup, in triumphant white face, if you will.
But it didn't last long because the premise of the film is that Godfrey Cambridge, a white middle-class guy, wakes up one day like Joseph K. in Franz Kafka. But instead of turning into a cockroach, he turns into a black man.
Oh, my God. Oh, my good God.
Oh, shut up. There is no God. He don't give a damn.
You look like a Negro.
I know what I look like. Shut up.
I mean a dark one. I mean if I didn't know you.
Will you shut up, Althea?
Oh, should I hide the money?
And his life changes dramatically.
Dramatically, but also comedically. You know, I think that one was a little too dangerous in various ways. You know, he had a white family. He had a white wife. So it's too close to a lot of bones, and it's pushing black and white too close together.
So if we've established that all of these things somehow press a primal hot button, is there a moment in the newest addition to the genre, the upcoming cable series Black White, that transcends the simple stunt of passing that's more than just skin deep?
I was very taken with the black father and seeing him at the golf course. Because you can see his enjoyment and his watchfulness at the same time. Because normally, with a passer, a black person passing for white, what you're supposed to see is the seamless result. You're not supposed to also see what's going on behind the eyes or see a kind of glee. And we do. And that, to me, is worth it. I must say, I also enjoyed, I guess it's Ice Cube's song at the beginning, the line where he said, you know, he went to jail like Martha Stewart, and like her, he told the judge, I didn't do it. And I thought, okay, Ice Cube and Martha, I'm fine with that, you know.
Well, Margo, thank you very much.
It was fun.
Margo Jefferson is a cultural critic for the New York Times and author of the book just published, On Michael Jackson.
I never got my race card in the mail. Is that the reason why my life's still hard as hell? I've been to jail, just like Martha Stewart. And we both told the judge that we didn't do it.
I needed a pair of shoes, so I had to go into the pro shop. And then the most amazing thing happened.
The guy actually took my foot and put it in the shoe and put a shoehorn in the back to make sure my foot slide in. That feels good.
I have never in my life had someone, you know, they come out and give me my shoe, but I've never had anyone actually unlace it, open it, shoehorn the back, and slide my foot into the shoe.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.